Genre tall tales. Our amusing stories told with great exaggeration, sensory language, and bigger-than-life characters. As you read, try to imagine what amazing thing Rose will do next. Question of the week. How can nature challenge us? Sonora Saul. Written by Jeremy Edgar. Illustrated by E. Corazon Abierto. On a cool, clear morning, way back in the time of legends, a long, loud howl rang out to meet the rising sun. It cut through the still morning air like a hot knife through butter. Now, that piercing wail could be heard from one end of the Sonora River Valley to the other, and it warmed the hearts of the good, hard-working folk there and sent ice through the veins of those less righteously inclined. Down on the Rancho Esperanza, Emilio and Lupe Hernandez gazed down at the source of all that noise and commotion, and the wonder that was their newly born daughter. After the initial howl, which was more of an announcement than any expression of discomfort on her part, Sonora Saul lit up the room with a chuckle and a smile that was brighter than the sunshine streaming through the bedroom window. The proud parents exchanged loving glances and then presented the babe with a rattle, a family heirloom that had served each of the Sal's 7 brothers. Well, Sal took that rattle, inspected it, gave it a shake, and handed it back to her adoring pa. "Thank you kindly," she said. "I appreciate the gesture and all, but I am going to need something a little more suited to my temperament and well-being." Then she hopped off the bed and walked daintily out of the room. Throwing open the heavy oak front door, the newborn babe slowly surveyed her new surroundings until her eyes lit upon a large rock not far from the ranch house. I guess it was by intuition that Sal knew that lying beneath that rock was just what she needed. She strode purposefully over to that boulder and lifted it clean over her head before placing it neatly to one side. There, where the rock had been, lay the longest, meanest rattlesnake you ever saw. Well, that snake wasn't partial to being disturbed in so brisk a manner. It lifted its great head and stared at Sal with death in its eyes. "Don't you be giving me no trouble now," Sal warned it. And with that, she reached down, grabbed its tail, and gave it a good shake. Then, right pleased with the rattle, she looked that serpent straight in the eye and treated it with a beaming smile. Well, that snake warmed to Sal straight away, not having experienced much in the way of friendly companionship before, and they became inseparable from that day on. As you can well imagine, rattlesnakes are not everyone's cup of tea, and when Sal's family saw her waltzing in the front door with a mile of rattler wound around her neck, well, they all excited mighty hastily through the back door. It was not long after that that Sal's pa got the notion to build Sal her own special nursery a ways from the ranch house. Well, it was clear to him that the ranch house just wasn't big enough to accommodate Sal, her newfound comforter, as well as the rest of the family. Leastways, that's what he told himself. So, he and the boys constructed Sal and Cassie, short for Cascabel, their very own little ranch house out in the pasture. This pleased our little gal to no end. Whenever she was hungry, she only had to whistle to have an accommodating cow come trotting through the door full of Mother Nature's milk, a fine beverage for a growing infant. And, at night, the local coyotes obliged Sal with a soothing lullaby that soon had her snoring her pretty little head off. Sal grew healthy and strong, and it wasn't long before one of her siblings would ride by and pick up her and Cassie, who had also grown much in size and sociability thanks to Sal's loving influence, and take them out to the ranch. It was on one such occasion that they encountered El Trueno, 4 tons of raging beef, who had his own ideas on how a bull of his stature and standing should conduct himself. "Better leave him alone for now and wait for backup," Sal's brother informed her nervously. Well, our little gal was having none of that. The 3-year-old vaulted out of the saddle and landed on one knee like a true superhero. Well, Sal stared right into that big bad bull's eye. And that big bad bull, well, he stared right back, snorting smoke and flames from his big bad nostrils. Now, El Trueno wasn't about to let such an affront to his dignity and position in his kingdom go unpunished. He slowly lowered his great head, the long, razor-sharp horns glistening in the sunlight, and then came at Sal like a freight train. Sal stood her ground calmly, a mischievous smile playing about her lips. Then, as quick as lightning, she grabbed Cassie from around her shoulder and sent her spinning through the air towards the charging brute. Cassie knew exactly what to do, and quick as a flash, she wrapped herself around the great bull's legs and brought him crashing to the ground in a cloud of dust. When the dust finally cleared, Sal's brother couldn't believe what he was seeing. He just sat there, his eyes all a-goggle, with his chin resting on his saddle. There was El Trueno, fire and brimstone still pouring from his pitch-black nostrils, looking around for the little upstart who had brought him to his knees. And there on his back was Sal, sitting proud and tall. Well, as tall as her diminutive stature would allow. Now, it would take more than a little tumble to break El Trueno's spirit. As soon as he felt the weight of our little heroine on his back, he began to buck and spin like a beast possessed. His thundering hooves soon raised a cloud of dust. After a minute, the dust cloud became a storm, and then the storm became a full-blown tornado. The wind roared, the bull bellowed, and through it all came the sweet, clear voice of our little gal. "Yee-haw! Come on, big fella, is that all you got? I've had more trouble staying on a rocking horse." Well, that tornado swept up and down the valley with Sal and El Trueno at the center of it. It went on for the rest of that morning and all afternoon, and folks were wondering if it would ever let up. Now, you may be thinking that there was cause for concern for a diminutive damsel, but she was having the time of her short, sweet life. And truth be told, El Trueno was kind of enjoying it as well. But a good thing can't last forever. And just as the sun was setting over the hills, the winds stopped and the dust settled. Now, those 7 brothers crept up mighty gingerly on the cause of all that ruckus, not knowing what to expect and all. And what do you think they found? There was El Trueno, lying flat out and exhausted, snoring his huge head off, his great lungs going like bellows, and there, on his back, her head resting gently between those lethal horns, lay our little gal, also fast asleep. A picture of peace and contentment. After that, El Trueno and Sal took to each other like flies to a cowpat, which came in handy when it came to cleaning up all the destruction and devastation they had wreaked throughout that valley. El Trueno became Sal's regular mount, and for her 5th birthday, the family presented her with a special saddle. It took 2 years for the local craftsman to make that saddle on account of the size and the intricate leatherwork that went into it. But when it was finished, it truly was a thing of beauty and a joy to behold. Now, about that time, the family decided to have themselves a little vacation. and after much discussion and deliberation, they decided they'd all like to see the Great Sea of Cortez. Well, Pa reckoned on taking just one wagon, figuring that was enough to accommodate the luggage if everyone rode their horses. And it would have been if Ma wasn't so conscientious and caring. She considered it her sworn solemn duty to make sure each and every one of her brood had the comforts of home no matter where they were going. It's lucky Pa drew the line at taking down the ranch house log by log and brick by brick, or seven wagons wouldn't have been enough. Then, Ma noticed the look of disappointment and downright beggary that would have put a starving hound dog to shame on the faces of some of the ranch hands. So, they were invited. Then, Pa thought it would be unfair if they only took some of the ranch hands, and not the others. And then, one of the brothers pointed out that there would be no one left to take care of the cattle, so they should come along just to be on the safe side. And if that wasn't enough, one or two of the more curious folk from the valley came snooping around, wondering what all the fuss was about. Well, folks, by the time that family set off on that little vacation of theirs, they had themselves a wagon train so long that the leaders were across the mountains and halfway to the coast when the stragglers were still closing the gates and saying their goodbyes. Now, the good folk along the coast of the Sea of Cortez had a mighty fine reputation for their hospitality and generous spirit. So you could well imagine that they would have been overjoyed to see that happy band of holidaymakers descending upon them like Moses and the Israelites coming out of the wilderness. And ordinarily, you would have been right on the button to imagine just that. But on this occasion, the good folk of the Rancho Esperanza and surrounding villages were met with looks of anxiety and downright desperation. Well, Pa got down on from his horse, determined to get to the bottom of this little conundrum, and had a little powwow with the chief honchos of that particular stretch of the coast. It turned out that the fishing thereabouts had all but dried up, and there wasn't even a sardine to be had for love nor money, and all the trepidation was on account of the good folk of the coast not being able to extend their customary generosity and hospitality. However, when Pa told them he had brought enough beef with him to keep them in steaks for a couple of lifetimes, they cheered right up, and our weary travelers were received with open arms. Now, Sal and El Trueno took to that sea like cows to a cornfield, and even Cassie dipped her tail in the water, just to see what all the fuss was about. Everyone was swimming and splashing and having a good old time of it. Still, it wasn't the same without a platter of the legendary grilled fish come suppertime. That evening, Pa got to talking to the proprietor of the fine and comfortable guest house they were staying at, and it transpired that the fish had all disappeared on account of El Monstruo, a whale that had taken up residency in that particular area of the Sea of Cortez. Folks around there were calling it El Monstruo on account of it being as big as an island and as fiery as a volcano. Indeed, when that beast blew, water erupted from its blowhole like lava from an exploding volcano. When Sal got wind of what was causing the good folk of those parts to worry and lose sleep, her eyes lit up like diamonds in a mine. It was all her brothers could do to stop her pulling on her swimsuit and marching down to the beach right there and then. The next morning, Sal was stepping into that swimsuit of hers before the sun was up, and even at that hour, half of Sonora was at the beach waiting for her. The other half, the half that knew her and knew what to expect, were watching from atop a hill a mile out of town. They weren't disappointed. It was like seeing Moses part the Red Sea to watch that crowd part as our little gal strode right through them and dove into the water. The local wildlife must have gotten wind of the event, too, as a dolphin swam up, tossed Sal onto its back, and took her out to sea to meet El Monstruo. The folk at the scene were treated to the sight of the world's largest flying fish, as Sal caught that whale by the tail, swung it around, and sent it soaring into the air. it landed with such a splash that even the folk at the top of the hill got their feet wet. Then the fight began. First, the sea began to boil and froth, and then up shot the biggest water spout you could ever imagine, with Sal and El Monstruo battling it out at the center of it. Well, that water spout went clear down to Los Cabos and back again before that fight was over. Then, having dispensed of El Monstruo, Sal rode that water spout back to the town and dropped 12 tons of fish on the cheering townsfolk. The celebrations lasted a month. There was singing and dancing, barbecues and picnics, and folk came from as far away as Argentina to shake Sal by the hand. When it was finally time for the townsfolk to wave farewell to our little gal, there wasn't a dry eye to be found. Well, the years rolled by, and Sal grew into a fine young vaquera. Rancho Esperanza grew and prospered as our gal Cassie and El Trueno rode the range, keeping everything orderly and shipshape. Sal took to reading and sleeping under the stars. When she had trouble sleeping, our resourceful ranchera would put a loop in Cassie's tail, lasso a star, and bring it down to read by until she dozed off. True, there was the occasional tornado whenever Sal encountered a particularly brave mountain lion bothering the cattle, or an ornery bull that needed taking down a peg of two. But generally, things were as peaceful as a baby's sigh. That is, until cattle started disappearing. Now, Sal branded the cattle with her own special brand so that cattle rustlers would know just who those cows belonged to and make themselves scarce. But Mean Eyes Mino and Big Bad Bob weren't about to let a mere girl come between them and their thieving ways, no matter how big a reputation she had. They had them a notion to take 100 or so of the Rancho Esperanza's prime cattle and follow the river to Hermosillo, where they could sell them at a good price. As soon as our gal noticed that some of her cattle were missing, she threw Cassie over her shoulder, jumped on El Trueno, and the formidable trio thundered off in search of those cows. It didn't take long for Sal to track those varmints down and figure out their plan, her gray matter being sharpened by all that reading and all. Those books had also cultivated our gal's imagination somewhat, and a plan of her own began to form in that resourceful mind of hers. They headed downstream as fast as El Trueno's hooves would take them. It wasn't long before Sal spied just what she was looking for, a boulder perched on a hill above the river. Well, our gal put a shoulder to that huge rock, and it was soon rolling down that hill and crashed into the river, damming it up real good. Next came the tricky part. Sal looped Cassie around that boulder and tied her other end around the saddle horn of that fine saddle of hers. Then she took hold of Cassie herself, and she and El Trueno pulled and pulled with all their strength until they were dragging that great boulder and the river with its back towards El Rancho Esperanza. Now, if it had been any other vaquero, bull, or serpent, I would have said the task was downright impossible. Our heroic trio was plain tuckered out by the time they got that river home. But they managed it right enough, to the wonder and amazement of all the dumbstruck folk who witnessed it. Well, Big Bad Bob and Mean Eyes Mimo stuck to their plan of following the river, and you can imagine their surprise when, after driving all those cattle hundreds of miles, they found themselves plumb back where they started from and face to face with Sal and the sheriff. Now, with Bob and Mimo behind bars, things became mighty orderly and peaceful at Rancho Esperanza. However, the incident had whetted Sal's appetite for adventure and setting the world to rights. And it wasn't long before our gal decided it was time to stop reading about the big wide world and to start experiencing it for herself. So, one clear, bright morning, our little vaquera bade farewell to her kinfolk and Rancho Esperanza and set out with Cassie and El Trueno for new pastures. Well, I'm not saying she wasn't sorely missed back on the ranch, but whenever folks back there got wind of a tornado someplace, they knew that was where Sonora Cell was having herself a little adventure.